and Matt, we're ready to come to order at 6 o'clock. Welcome, everybody. We have some visitors here this evening, and if no one objects, we will take the presentation out of order. But first, I think it's going to be nice if we all do some introductions, tell everybody a little bit about who you are. And I'm Louise, and I'm the chair of the Harbor Commission. Welcome.
David Leon, on the commission.
Matt Ripley, Yardmaster.
Mike Sabatini with Landmark Corporation, Surveyors and Engineers, for the city, and also going to be working with the Yardley Solutions as well.
Peter Smith, committee.
Ron Huber, Friends of Penobscot Bay, and I'll be recording this meeting for WRFR Community Radio.
I'm Lynn Barnard, and I live here in Rockland, and I'm the public.
Right on. I'm Lynn.
I'm Julie Hashem. I'm the new Community Development Director.
Bill Moran with Yachting Solutions, and my father, Bill, as well.
Two Bills, easy.
Yep. Right. I'm Stuart Smith. My wife and I and two other partners own the old MB&A property. We lease space to Yachting Solutions.
Welcome. And?
Andy O'Brien, Free Press.
Hi, Andy. Welcome. And if there are no objections, we will have, it looks like Mike Sabatini will be doing the presentation.
Yes, yes.
And Mike, a question, do you want questions during, or do you want to do the whole presentation and then have people ask you questions?
Happy to have people speak up during the time.
Okay,
informal. So we've already introduced each other. So I want to just give a little bit of background, just to get the committee up to speed of what's been going on, okay? So going back in time a little bit to like the summer of 2016, Matt had just started, and I worked with another group with Malone McBroom. Regina Leonard is a landscape architect, and we were hired to study the public landing. We did public outreach. We met with all the interested parties that use the public landing, and the festival folks, Chamber of Commerce, the Yacht Club. And we had some public informational meetings, the general public. And we came up with this design, which was concerned about access to the public landing. That was a big thing that everyone talked about. When there's a festival going on or an event happening in the Harbor Park, it's hard to get access. There's wayfinding, like when big groups come to the public landing, they come here, and then what? You know, how do you get uptown? How do you get to the main street? Where's the Chamber of Commerce? That kind of thing. And then there was a problem with the grades. It's very steep off the end of this pier. We wanted to raise the pier. And we came to the conclusion that the Harbor Masters building had to get lifted up and moved back about 15 or 20 feet to get out of a flood zone and make the transition from pier to land smooth. So that's what happened there. Meantime, this past summer, and Bill, you can chime in on some of the details of this, but Yachting Solutions was doing their own planning just next door, and they had come up with a plan to expand their marina. I'm just showing them this plan right here. And, separate activities, and they actually won a grant. I think it was a BIG grant.
Infrastructure grant, right.
Yep. So, and the two projects were going on separately without talking to each other. The one common denominator between the two projects was Gary Neville. Gary worked on our team to help with cost estimating for the city, and he was meeting with Yachting Solutions and Stu Smith, the owner of the property, to talk about, feasibility costs and so forth. And he's like, there's these two projects, maybe you guys should get together. So, and it was like this fall, September time frame, I got in touch with Matt and put a little group together. Matt, myself, Stuart, the Yachting Solutions folks, Tom Luttrell, and we decided just to get together to talk about the two, two projects, and at the very least, resolve any conflicts that might happen, and at the best, think bigger, possibly is there any way we can work together, kind of zoom up to 30,000 feet. That the result of that. So it's a working drawing. This is one of the drawings I used to be one of these initial meetings, and it kind of shows what Yachting Solutions wanted to do, at least initially. And then it shows the public landing improvements as part of that other work that the city did. And you can see there's a conflict there with the proximity there, so at the very least we want to resolve that. But in this meeting, we talked about, well, what are the problems here? You know, oftentimes there's easterly or southeasterly winds that make it hard for boats on the docks, you know. And as part of this project, the Yachting Solutions, they're going to do a wave attenuating floats. And they said, well, what if we think bigger, and what if there's a wave attenuation wall, and you could overlap that and extend something off of Bowie Park here, and you could actually make it an inner harbor. So that inner harbor idea came up. The other thing that came out of this initial meeting was, what if we were going to pick up and move this building anyways, what if it moved over to Bowie Park and opened up this for all the folks that have events there, and it also put the cruise lines, like the American cruise lines that come in here and are at this float, instead of bringing the people this way, which is a little more distant from Main Street and the Chamber of Commerce, bring them over this way, and you could be right near the Chamber of Commerce and Tilson Avenue and Main Street. So there's a lot of positives that came out of the meeting, and we toyed with that, and we, through several meetings, we arrived at something that we kind of like because we think it has a lot of advantages, and you know there are some challenges with it as well, which we can go over. But so this plan shows the result of several meetings starting in September, October, into just a couple weeks ago, including a meeting that Matt and Bill had with American Cruise Lines to get their input, which they can share with you those details. But so what this plan does, it actually has a physical breakwater, not just wave attenuating floats. That's this dark line that comes out here almost to the setback of the channel. This is the Federal Channel in pink here with its setbacks. So this is a breakwater, would be similar in construction to what's at the Yachting Solutions breakwater. So it's pile supported. You wouldn't be able to walk on top of it like the Yachting Solutions one, but it'd be pile supported with a brace pile, horizontal framing members, and then vertical boards that would do the wave attenuation. So that's what that is. And you notice there's an overlap to a new pier that comes off of Bowie Park. There's also wave attenuation. So now, when waves come in this way, if they get by this one, they'll hit this, and it keeps this inner harbor largely attenuated from waves. As you can see here, the thing that we like about this is the outline of the American cruise ships. One of them is 215 feet long. The other one's, this one is 267 feet long. That's their new one coming online. This location is very similar to the location that it currently resides in, that feeds the floats that go to the public landing. But now it'll feed to Bowie Park instead.
Did you say the two sizes are overlaid?
Yeah, they're overlaid. There's a smaller boat and a larger boat. Okay. So now all of these passengers come this way in a much more central location and can access the Main Street, the Chamber of Commerce, and so forth. The other thing that's great about this, the move of the Harbor Masters building over to here, is the separation. As I said, everyone we met with said, well, it's kind of a problem when the users of the landing there's an event coming on, they want to get to their dinghy, they want to get to their boat, whatnot. You know, they have to be escorted through the event, or there's no way to get around. So now, if you can funnel the general public that wants to access the water, they can come here, plenty of room for dinghies right here. They have constant access while an event that has tickets and gates is going on here. So, kind of, those are the positives. Let me just click through improved entry point for the cruise ship. Creates an inner harbor, increased potential for, yeah. Oh, so this unlocks kind of more potential for Harbor Park, too. With the Harbor Masters building gone, there isn't that tension and that conflict anymore. And as it stands, I believe the Lobster Festival kind of was bulging out into Bowie Park. And now
it took all of Bowie Park.
Yeah, and so now you can bring that back.
That's the only one we can't really mitigate. It's just because it takes up that whole...
That's going to reduce our
profit margin by about 35%.
Or if what's not, that? If you don't have Bowie Park 2?
Yes.
Even though if this building's gone, you don't think you could make up the space?
We consume all of Bowie Park and the roadway. And we have the lobster cooker, which is right there.
Yeah, and that could stay. You know, that's obviously built. But I guess I've digging it out a bit more, but the thinking was that certainly the Harbor Masters building occupied a certain amount of space that the Lobster Festival couldn't occupy, and now you could take over that space. So it's certainly something to talk about and consider.
We knew that going in. It's just basically moving it from one spot to another. So.
Well, the only problem the art tent. They don't want to be anywhere near the stage.
Yeah. We actually set up a meeting with the Lobster Festival in about 2 weeks.
Hey, question. How about that as a sort of a silt catcher? Seems like these things, as you said, it's going to be really calming the water, which means it'll be settling a lot faster. Is it going to just require more dredging?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, the wave attenuation will just go down just barely below low water. Mm-hmm. So the energy of waves that go underneath that will still happen.
There are several opportunities for slowing down as they kind of go into the harbor there.
Positive of this, what I didn't want to forget to mention, is that this allows, with the wave attenuation, allows wintertime use, perhaps by fishermen, if they want to keep a boat in the water. And
any commercial uses.
Any commercial uses.
Scooters, fishing boats, trades.
How much of wave diffraction will occur to the landings area?
Well, so...
That marina out there where the waves come in and hit that... And then how much silt deposit will occur there?
That would have to be a study. I'm not sure I can answer that question right now. I mean,
it's pretty interesting to note that over the course of the years that the pier has been where it is now, where our marina is located, there has not been a buildup of silt that I'm aware of. There is an outfall like there is in Camden. There isn't that constant filling of the harbor. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen any buildup of dredgeable material on one side of the fence or the other.
Right.
And that's been sitting there for,
20 years.
20 years now.
So no remediating dredging had to happen? Cool. All right, well, if it's not silty water,
as far as I know, it's still, I think it's at 13-foot mean low water. And I think that's what the dredge lines were.
So what are you referring to? Is it the short yellow line next to the, just to the left? What exists today?
This exists right here. Yeah.
The brown one.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Light brown right there.
Yeah.
And the construction underneath our pier is a wave attenuation, is a wave fence.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So it's exactly the same concept of what we're talking about, doing larger to protect a bigger portion of the inner harbor.
Thank you.
And really easy to see if you take a walk over there.
So, you know...
Thank you.
We allowed ourselves to think a little bit big here. You know, we're at 30,000 feet. There's a lot of properties involved. Obviously, you know, the Black Pearl property would have to cooperate with all this.
So they would lose their floats?
They'd lose them, but you'd gain it with some wraparound floats and finders here.
So we would still have use of the, on the middle pier, where the boats, the vessels tie in.
Yeah. And one little statistic, I did measure, you know, you can kind of see in the aerial, this isn't the latest and greatest outline, but the existing length of floats that the city has is 906 approximately. And what this shows, this float and this one, this length of float, and these fingers here add up to 1,044. So there's actually more, and that doesn't even include all these little fingers, I didn't count those, but... there's a little more length of float that the city would occupy.
So what was that number again?
So 906 existing and 1,044 proposed for the city. Yeah.
Probably like four extra floats.
And the thing about the floats is, you know, we actually get more deep water here as
yeah.
well. You do that over time. You know, you'd utilize the floats you had and put them into some arrangement similar to this, and yeah. then you could add fenders later if you need them or want them.
So how big of vessels are going to be moored at the breakwater?
Right here?
Yeah, what size?
That's...
What I'm wondering, would it block views from the park? If you had large...
We're seeing, you know, larger and larger traffic coming into Rock
right.
Harbor.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you noticed this summer or not, but we regularly had
yeah,
50-meter-plus boats at anchor in the outer harbor.
Yeah.
So I would expect that type of traffic during the course of the summer season. You know, so, you know, much like when the cruise line is there, I suppose they block the view to a certain extent. Yachts would as well, but... you know, I think we talked a little bit about this in our harbor meetings. You know, certainly some of these boats are the spectacle during the season, and people like to see those as well. So, and you know, the summer really is July 4th to Labor Day. You know, that's the season where that marina is full and operating.
So, Bill, are you looking at, because we did see some of those unbelievable pleasure boats,
yeah.
we'll call them that.
Yeah.
They were phenomenal, and people would come just to see them because it was
right.
a spectacle.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for? But I'm hearing also a lot of this is aimed at the cruise industry. So I think as a commission, we want to be really clear, is this whole redesign about accommodating cruise ships, which I heard Mike say several times, or is this about coordinating with pleasure boaters?
On our side, what we intended to do right from the start was to accommodate more transient yachts of all sizes. So that's where we see Rockland as a real growth opportunity in increasing the transient traffic that's coming into town. We're seeing, you know, when I was a kid, never a yacht that came into Rockland. You know, everybody came to Camden. Everybody skipped Rockland. And now you're seeing it as a destination. So we see transient traffic increasing tremendously. Just in the time we've been operating the marina, over about 7 years, I would say that our transient business is probably quadrupled, if not sixfold,
mm-hmm.
of yachts coming into the harbor. So creating a destination for those yachts and creating more opportunity for transient traffic to come in is what we're about. When we looked at the pier, ACL in particular seems to be a fairly low-impact, welcomed addition to the city. In other words, they're bringing in 100 people at a time, not
mm-hmm.
1,000 people at a time. So our plans for, you know, making this work, what we build over there on our side of the harbor, impacts how they can maneuver.
Right.
So they come right. in the harbor, they've got to spin around, they've got to turn around. So we didn't want to build something that was just like, hey, guys, we don't want to be here. This is too much of a pain. So we wanted to be considerate of their needs
mm-hmm.
While we were, you know, laying this out. Not to encourage them one way or the other, necessarily. It was really just to be considerate of the business that they're already bringing to the market.
Sure. No, understood. Thank you.
So Matt, under this scenario, where would the tenders land?
For the large cruise ships?
Yeah.
So we would actually, instead of having the 105 facility where it currently is,
yeah.
that would be the 105 facility there. The tenders would moor up to this dock and use that brow right there. See that ramp?
Yeah.
Right there? On this side, it would be completely segregated so mm-hmm. that we could actually have ACL cruise ships there as well and use this side.
Is that actually two different piers?
Well, this right here is a dock.
The black, okay.
Yeah, right here
it's just segregated.
Floats. Yep.
Oh,
okay, so you can actually have the buses come in here, passengers walk up. So, number one, it helps us with security, so we can completely segregate the public side from the 105 facility side, so mm-hmm. we don't have to worry about helping people up and down.
Yeah.
You know, it's really kind of a pain.
But the buses wouldn't be able to loop, though. Like they do.
Well, we can loop down here, come on through, park,
pick them up, and then come back up. Now, the most important part is half the phone calls and the issues that I see is the fact that people can't get down to the public landing during those days. While with this scenario, they can use the public landing as much as they want all year round, with the exception of the Lobster Festival and, you know, the regular festivals.
So where the tenders land is the middle of the year, where the tutus and the morning of Maine.
Correct. Yep. And with these finger piers right here, tutus, you know, morning in Maine, they'd be morning up to the same pier.
So would we still be having transient at the regular, what's left of the current?
When, over here?
Yeah.
Yes, that would be the public landing. So, you know, even during cruise ship season, they can use that uninhibited.
So they would have to walk over to the harbor master for showers and used laundry?
Well, that's something we need to talk about probably at another meeting, but we'll definitely have to have some sort of facilities over here. And Julie and I have hashed that out a little bit.
We were just talking about that an hour ago.
Yep. We had a ramp on this side as well, so when you're on this boat system, you could get a ramp here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of facilities, how's the pump-out situation? Is it still going to be easy access for people that want to do that?
During the meeting, we talked about pump-out over here, okay, for the cruise ships as well as transient vessels, and still maintaining the pump-out over here.
So they'll be pump-out for the cruise ships?
Correct.
You mean for the small ones?
The small ones.
Small vessels, large vessels.
Small cruise ships, not the 1,000-footers.
Correct.
The ACL boats in particular.
Right, okay, independent.
They expressed to us that it would be helpful for them if there was pump out fresh water and even power trip.
That would be quite an investment there. But,
It would, and there seems to be some openness on their part to discussing being a part of that investment. So that's up to the committee to decide if that's something they want or not.
Did I hear you say pump out fresh water and with shore power?
So what kind of approved government approvals do you need? What agencies?
The Army Corps, DP, those two in particular. Mm-hmm. The dredging involved.
And we're losing moorings. Do we get reimbursed for that or what?
So I took the opportunity. Matt had given me an image that shows all the moorings.
Yeah.
And then I put the improvements on there. And so clearly, you know, there are some moorings, and this kind of unofficial channel would have to get relocated. You have to get out to the federal channel that way. And this,
so would we get, would the city get reimbursed, or
I think you.
I'm not sure you're going to lose anymore.
No, I think what we do is reorganize them. Like there's definitely some inefficiencies in the way these lay out. I think you could. There's some gaps and holes that you can see. I think if you laid things out a little more orderly, you might be able to keep the same amount of moorings. Now, people would have to move from where they traditionally were.
Right.
So the city would have to approve the...
Actually, that's covered under submerged lands. Mm-hmm. Submerged
the state?
Yeah, state.
So or do we...
We actually manage those mooring leases under the Maine Submerged Lands program. Mm-hmm. So yes, some will need to be moved, but it gives us the opportunity, like Mike said, to actually reorganize that whole mooring field if we choose to do so, to make it a lot more efficient, be able to fit more boats in a smaller area.
So if... is there an alternative? I mean... This is dependent on us action. Is there action you guys are going to go ahead and take?
You know, ultimately, you know, we'll be before the council on this matter.
Yeah.
But obviously, we need to come here first and hopefully gain your support. If you think this is a good idea, certainly that would be the ideal thing. And then,
we're also meeting with other stakeholders, watching festival in a couple of weeks.
And then we would, you know, this is kind of a big deal. You know, there's obviously there'd be moorings have to move around, and operations of the harbor master would have to change, and like I said, we kind of, we're thinking big, and there's a lot of benefits to this. Hope you folks see that, and hope that the city sees that. And
I guess what I'm wondering, if we don't have the funding, but you've got what are you going to do?
We did talk about that.
Could go forward independent of, you know, there's a problem with this finger float as you currently arrange things, so that would be maybe something you'd have to concede on, but you could flop these moorings over to the other side, I think. Not moorings, the Danish floats. I think you could move forward at independently, but there are some positives to, like for instance, Yachting Solutions went ahead and they hired someone to do bathymetry, and they went ahead and did bathymetry for all the city's land, submerged lands as well. And there's also going to be testing because it'd be dredging with both of these projects. In the testing, it just makes sense to do all the testing at once, and Yachting Solutions picking up that expense. It's just as easy to do it all at the same time.
You include the
fish
pier?
No, that's a separate program.
So then the collaboration between Yachting Solutions, it sounds like, and the city, excuse me, you two, and the city, would be, right now, the only collaboration would be the dredging and the testing, because right now there are no funds that I'm aware of.
Right. That
the city has. What is Yachting Solutions? What's your next step? What's Yachting Solutions' next step?
Well, we need to move forward with permitting for the project. So on our side. So the reason that we're testing at the same time is because of timing. You know, Matt said, if we want to go ahead and get further grant funds, BIG funds or whatnot, for the city's purposes. You know, that's going to take some time, but at least we'll all know what's possible. So that's why we decided to go ahead and understand what's there, what's there for soil samples, what's there for bathymetry, all that stuff now. We've got about a two-year window. It's a little bit longer than we thought, but it effectively is a two-year window to get permit and start construction on our side. Originally, we were looking at a much less costly project to build, but you know, I think the benefits of creating a much more concise inner harbor that benefits everybody is great collaboration with the city and private enterprise. But our goal and our next steps are to go ahead and get permitted for the project that everybody nods their head and says, yes, we like this. We like this direction. And once we have those permits in place from both Army Corps and DEP, then we will start construction, hopefully within a two-year window.
And a local planning board as well. And what's crucial to those permits is that the city's bought into this and that there's been public informational meetings. And that's important to the whole permitting process. The other thing I wanted to mention was, even though the city might lag behind in some of these projects because of funding, I think, and you can maybe weigh in on this, is that because there's this private investment and it's a part of a bigger, larger story or picture, I think you can leverage that in requesting for grants. I think it looks good in the city's grant application that they're kind of part of a bigger thing that has private investment.
Well, there also may be potential for us to go back to the well, as it were, with the BIG funding as part of kind of a stage two project with the city that could include, you know, a different twist on it, i.e. funding for the, you know, the cruise ship pier and the central pier for public planning. I don't know that, but we worked with an organization out of Charleston, South Carolina that helped us write the grant application, and they were very successful. They also did the 58 4th Street project in Portland and won the grant funding for that as well. So these guys are pretty switched.
Who'd be doing the sediment testing and so on? Which company is that?
Bud Brown.
He's getting pretty familiar with the harbor here.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that got me excited about this,
was the public access along the waterfront, the walking path. It's from the start of the South Beach and walk all the way along across our property. And you get to the end of our property and you kind of just stop and go, now we're going. And so the concept of having the boardwalk continue across the front of the city's land and going all the way over to the middle pier, which in my mind is an extremely underutilized piece of town property as far as a public park. And being able to work on that middle pier and create more of a functioning park that people can go there, sit down, have lunch, look out. And one of the pieces that Mike didn't touch on is the black line coming out on from the middle pier. At the end of that, there's a big viewing area contemplated so people could, the general public all the time, whether there's an event going on or not, can access that, stand out there, and have a phenomenal view right out through the whole harbor. Whereas if you're in the inner, if you're down at the city landing right outside here, and a cruise ship, you know, is a dock here, you don't see a nice cruise ship, but you don't see much more sometimes. And the more traffic you get, the more that will happen. But from that vantage point, anybody will be able to walk out there, whether there's something going on over here or not, and see the whole harbor, you know, the breakwater, Halstead Lighthouse, and everything all the time. It really starts to create and utilize more of the potential park access for the general public. And you could have kids' swing sets down there and barbecue grills, and it could be awesome.
So what are those finger piers right on the right, no, on the cruise ship right in there?
They're just like this one is I think 60 feet long, this one's 30 feet long, this one's
what would those be?
We probably use those for the current inhabitants of the pier. And then when the cruise ships aren't tendering, which is the majority of the year, we could use the rest of the pier space for more transient vessels.
Questions? Could you point again on the map to where Stu was referring to for where there would be additional public access and parks? Are you saying they'd walk all the way to the end of the middle pier, that they'd be public access?
The pier would come out, it would probably be, I think I drew that, maybe 8 feet wide all the way out. And then you'd go, it would go out and it'd be like a 20 by 12, or we actually talked about making it bigger, maybe 20 by 20, a viewing platform, so that you could come out here and there could be room to sit or, you know,
thank you.
Fish off that. So,
thank you.
So, be an area as big as this whole room is here.
Yeah.
So, is there enough turning space for the cruise ship?
So, that's why there's a splay in this right here. Yeah. It was coming straight out, and we actually put a dog leg to protect some of this. And we just splayed it because what they would, I assume they would do, would come in forward and nose in here? Is that what you said?
We made a couple of changes based on the meeting that Matt and I had with ACL last week in Connecticut. We drove down specifically to talk to Andrew White, who's the director of operations, and he had a number of his people there in the meeting as well. And with this plan, they could do one of two things, and we changed the drawing accordingly. We did have it coming straight here, but it did create some bottleneck. When you have 267 feet of boat down in this corner, believe it or not, these things are relatively shallow draft, like eight feet tall.
Cruise ships,
and they've got a tremendous amount of windage. So even though they've got bow and stern thrusters, they do get a little bit of a handful to drive in really constricted space. So what we did was widen this out and shortened this pier here, or this float, and then also did a turning dolphin, so kind of a backup plan. So now they can either nose in and back in over here, port side 2, or they could come in, drive in, starboard side 2, and back into this space and drive out. But it gives them a lot more flexibility with maneuvering. In relationship
on the inside of that of the breakwater, will there be boats tied up?
Yes, theoretically there will be boats tied up on this side and this side.
That's why I just played it open so they couldn't have room to know. But, and that's 186 feet right from the other edge.
You read my mind. I was just wondering.
So even if you had two boats in there of, say, 35 to 40 foot beams, you still have a lot of room in the mouth of that for them to spin around.
One of the things we wanted to do right from the get-go was to preserve the existing federal channel in the turnaround basin. So we've got all of that preserved, and actually by rearranging where the ACL boats are now, we've actually opened up that turning basin even more than it is.
Yeah, that's correct. Almost half again.
And the advantage of maintaining that federal channel in the turning basin is they're theoretically on the hook for maintaining and dredging.
So is that Coast Guard approval too? I mean, we mentioned Corps, but
I don't think so. Army Corps would pull that. The Army Corps is concerned about the channel there. It's their jurisdiction.
There are various commenting agencies that will get in their NIMS and all that.
Yeah, they distribute it out to all the agencies.
Now, touching back on the funding side of things, the city side of the funding, you know, we had discussions with Tom and Ed was at the meeting and other people, and one of the thoughts is if you can get a good plan that people endorse and buy into, as you move forward, this is not going to happen overnight. We're not looking for, you know, any tax dollars to be involved, and you know, no one's taxes are going to go up to pay for this thing. So, but if you have a good solid plan, and that's buy-in from the Lobster Festival, buy-in from the Blues Festival, the Jazz Festival, all the people that are users, you can start raising money in other manners than just. If you don't have a plan, it's pretty hard to get someone to support it.
So I'm looking at, I'm sorry, I took this map. So here is your dock, your piers and alley.
Yeah.
This is what you're adding?
Yes.
Are you confident that you're going to fill all these slips? I mean that's a,
well,
it must be a worrisome
lot to. So let me, I can speak directly to that. We currently have, speaking to what I said earlier, how much more traffic we're seeing in Rockland with transient boats. We currently have a waiting list for seasonals, and we're getting seasonal boats like 80 feet, 50 feet, 60 feet. So our seasonal list is getting to the point that it's becoming more and more difficult to accommodate the transient boats. So the purpose of the boating infrastructure grant that we did receive is for transient vessels. The portion of it that we can build with BIG funds is for boats coming and going, for transient boats. And that's, I think the definition was
2 weeks
or less. Yeah. So, I'm very confident. We wouldn't be putting the investment that we are into Rockland without kind of, you know.
Well, a few years ago, weren't you concerned? I mean, I don't know that we had a conversation with you gentlemen, but there was something on the table and it was pulled back, and I don't know for what reason, but there was some concern that the economy wasn't warranting that, but now in three years, things have changed.
I don't know that, I don't think that that's exactly accurate. I mean, we've been talking about expanding this marina in one form or another since the day that we, you know, leased it from Stu. So I don't think that that's, we may not have been in a financial position to do it, and we certainly, without federal dollars, it's difficult to pencil out. You only have a 2-month season. You know, I mean, that's the challenge. It's not so much the lack of traffic, it's the lack of the length of time the traffic's here. So I think three things are happening at the same time. We're seeing more interest in Rockland and more interest in transient facilities to host those people. We're seeing growth in the pleasure boat business in general, and we're encouraged with the federal funding that's available and see that as an opportunity to kind of leverage and catapult the growth of this project. So I guess that's a long-winded answer to your question.
Also, you might want to know that currently I think there's only like 3 or 4 berths in the whole state of Maine
to have three-phase power to accommodate the large yachts. So the large yachts usually come in and run generators all the time. Our facility renovated here will be able to accommodate five.
I don't know. It depends on. I mean, this keeps changing. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. Depending on the plan, but I mean, you know, you're touching on a good point. There's DeMillo's in Portland that has one or two slips with three phase power
and Dysart's.
And Dysart's in Southwest. And both of those are very limited with the amount of slips that they have with power capabilities that can handle these types of vessels. So Rockland becomes a very attractive spot for a large yacht. If I'm captain of a large yacht, which I have been before, I am thinking about where am I getting my guests on and off. I happen to have a 5,000-foot airport airstrip right here. I can land private jets. I've got commercial service to Boston. I've got all of the provisioning aspects for my chef, and all of that stuff is right here in Rockland. So it's a fantastic dropping off point that happens to be smack dab in the middle between the cruising grounds of Portland and India. So it's a great location for that reason, and we're seeing more and more interest in it, especially for the larger yachts.
Where on earth are you going to store all these floats?
Yeah, well, that is a good question, and one that I quite frankly haven't thought all the way through.
How will you feed the floats?
Certainly. The point of building the attenuation fence, the way in which we're building it, is to create a calm inner harbor. So it may, in fact, be the case that we simply bubble it or take out a portion of what we do and store it inside the corral, in addition to being able to utilize some of the dockage for commercial use during the wintertime. It's a device that's like a little motor that you put in the water, and it just bubbles. It's constantly creating a current, so the water doesn't freeze.
Oh, okay.
Right now in this facility, we don't haul the floats. We move the northeasternmost floats to the inner portion of the horseshoe, and we tie them apart and fender them and leave them there for the winter. So, you know, certainly the intention is to make a year-round facility here that would be utilized by commercial traffic in the off-season. And there will be a portion of the floats that I would imagine would need to be disassembled, but they may stay in right in the water in the facility.
So this is probably near and dear to my heart. I need to know what your thoughts are. We have a very active fishing community here. I suspect that more traffic coming in. You're going to make sure that they're mindful of the hundreds of men and women that make their living hauling lobster traps. Are they going to follow the federal channel? Do you have some control over that, or is that something that will not be in your?
I mean, what we've done is tried to purpose to make sure we leave plenty of room, and in fact, make more room inside the federal channel with the plan. But you know, I'm in no more control of one captain's decisions as he approaches Rockland than you are, you know. So we certainly can promote it and talk about it.
And how do you feel about that? Would you promote that? I mean,
of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of buddies that are lobstermen. I mean, this. I grew up here. What are we, five generations? I mean, we get it. So
will you be increasing the shore side?
Yeah, in the current plan, we would be converting the current gazebo that's just open air to marina facility. Currently it houses the marina washrooms and laundry, and we would be enclosing that to create more of a crew lounge.
Would it still be circular like that?
Yeah, shape wouldn't change. We just enclose the structure that's there. And there'd be Mike and Stu and I are throwing around more ideas for, you know, utilizing grounds for parking and whatnot. So.
Is there more structure on the black square right there on the pier?
No, that would just be an open pier. The idea is right now that we'd be able to, what we'd like to be able to do is drive a truck down beside Archer's. Originally that pier was constructed and rated for commercial truck traffic before Archer's was expanded. You used to be able to put an oil truck down there if you wanted to. That would be nice to be able to do mostly for boom truck purposes, so we could step mass there. We'd like to be able to...
Could you translate that for...
Put mass in and out of sailboats.
Thank you.
With a crane truck. So that's the purpose of it. So you could drive a vehicle down there and have a landing space, a pier that you could park a vehicle on and do something with the servicing vessels that are down on that end of the pier.
But you know, you talk about the fishing industry. And, mm-hmm. You know, the fish pier. And I don't really know anything about it at all, but the potential for that fish pier to become, and they may not want the general public down there, but I mean, it's always amazed me that the lobster capital of the world has no place to really eat lobster on Rockland Harbor, except at the Rockland Festival. I mean, you know, the lobster festival said, okay, we're gonna take over the Landing's restaurant, and we're going to have the Rockland Lobster Festival restaurant cooking lobster 365 days a year, and you want to have a stuffed lobster for Thanksgiving, that's the place to go. I mean, it's just, you know, we go up, you know, I take my grandkids and friends up to Young's up in Belfast all the time for lobster. And why we're not coming to Rockland for lobster, I don't know. It just kills me. But that, you know, there's so much to be done commercially additionally with the fish pier. And, it, you know, the harbor master gets a little bit closer to the fish pier and sees what's going on over there. He may not want to see what's going on over there. But the potential is just, you know, support
the
fishing
industry. The potential is to make sure that it's safe and it's useful for
absolutely.
Lobstermen that use it day to day. That's something we've been working on for a long time.
When the herring trucks are coming in and out and all that.
Yeah, I'm not sure you could try to sell lobster rolls down there, but when someone got pooped on, we might have a little bit of an issue when you're unloading and offloading things.
2,000 seagulls over here.
Yeah.
Sweet scent of herring juice.
My oldest son lives in Sydney, Australia, and they have a fish pier about four times the size of that, and mm-hmm. people are bringing in seafood all day long. Mm-hmm. There's a middle part of it, and they're cooking it, and they're selling it, and the lobster and the fishermen there are making a lot more money because the product is up price because it's being sold right there. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very, you know, it's a very interesting potential dynamic.
So I'm just learning this world. Can you just tell me, does anyone fish in the harbor area commercially? Are there traps in close, or are they all further out because there are so many moorings in that area?
Out. There's a few around, but I think it's mostly recreational.
Okay.
Good. The traps that are in the inner harbor.
Some along the breakwater.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot around the
breakwater.
It's
not necessarily in the inner harbor. It's when they're coming in and out. As long as they stay in the
Federal
Channel, this is really not so much of an issue, but when they're swinging.
Gotcha.
These size of vessels that he's talking about, if they, you know, wander outside of the channel, they're not...
It's not going to be too bad, but I'm just thinking...
Well, I'm just saying they'll go around.
The size of these boats they're coming in and generally picking up pilots. They're coming in the shipping lanes, the mm-hmm. same traffic that the oil tanker takes.
The yachts are...
Yeah.
Do they have to have a pilot to come into the...
When you get over a certain gross tonnage,
really?
The pilot is compulsory.
All right.
Yeah, I was thinking it was footage, but...
No, it's
gross tonnage.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
And registry. Combination of gross tonnage and registry.
Any other questions? Mike, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think I covered everything.
And the bills, anything?
No. I'm here to answer questions. So.
Will you be adding fuel?
We'd like to add fuel. So this is currently in the plan, yeah. In fact, the idea would be for it to probably... Originally, conceptually, it was going to be on the outside. I'm not sure if that's where it would stay or if it would end up in this corner. I don't know yet. Like I said, this every time we have a meeting, ships a little bit, so, so I don't know yet.
Do the larger yachts feel from the
large boat? Larger yachts are typically fueling, they're bunkering anywhere in the world where they get the best price, and they generally have the range to cruise the north up and down from Florida. They'll fuel in Norfolk, Virginia, cruise all summer long, and not take fuel to Florida. So there is some opportunity, I think, for bunkering yachts here, but that's not necessarily the prime intention. It's more to create more transient facility for more average size yachts.
And that, you know, going back to the funding on the public side, I mean the ability to go after another BIG financing piece for the transient dockage is really strong. I mean, if you're doing something like this, you're talking about shower facilities and things that, you know, on land support for the transits. The BIG money is it's there. I mean, this is not like a federally funded program. It's funded through taxes that are on the fuel, and the money is coming in all the time. And they, you know, Maine's been very successful in getting, you know, Lyman Morse now. Wafer, before Lyman Morse went into Camden, they've got $1.5 million grant there. Taylor Allen's gotten grants for Belfast up there from BIG. And so, I mean, it's for the city to be able to get that, if you go in with a plan like this, there should be definitely money available to support that. Mm-hmm.
So we've been looking at that very program. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good program.
Well, there's this outfit out of Charleston that we use. They're consultants, and they'd be my highest recommendation if the city wants to be successful in the federal grant. They weren't that expensive. To put the grant application together, and they know the right people and the right questions and the right equations to plug into it.
Would love to chat offline about costs and logistics.
Yep.
So you can get, you know, you need to have not necessarily private money, but your own money has to go into the pot too. So like, they got $1 million grant, but they got to come up with $1.8 million, almost $2 million.
The original concept was a $3 million project. Yeah. I'm sure it's around.
But if you have cruise line coming in here, and they're willing to put in $1 million, that goes a long way to support what the city would get.
Yeah, understood.
And that's kind of the idea. If we're looking at this as a total picture, both private and federal funds can be utilized together for the greater good of that whole inner harbor. So that's what we're trying to do.
ATM also, having been successful with accomplishing our grant, now know the harbor and they know the market now, so it's going to be a lot easier, I think, for them to put it together in time frame as well as completeness.
A second.
Yes, a second.
Anything else?
Would the new harbor master building be able to accommodate the yacht club?
We're going to have a meeting with the yacht club in a couple of weeks to go over it all with them and see what they think.
Okay.
You let me know on that?
Oh,
since I remember that.
Oh, absolutely.
I have one question.
Sure.
Are there other small cruise lines who will buy into this or use
this?
Probably
a better question for Matt. I'm not really on the cruise line side.
I haven't seen any other interest approach us, and we haven't approached anybody.
Because two of the ones that are coming in next year are smaller ones also. Pearl Mist?
The only ones that we had talked about
Star Pride.
With ACL right here was, of course, the Independence that comes in every week anyway.
Yeah.
And then their new one, the Constitution, which is the same size as the Constellation that came last summer.
Those are good sizes for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one you mentioned is actually a subsidiary of the American Cruise Line, I believe.
They are. Pearl Mist is owned by
Oh, they are? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
It's one of those companies that buys
that,
companies.
That one's a little big for us, even with this new plan.
Big to tie up here without...
Even with the new plan, yeah. Okay.
Is that the boat that got run down to Cuba or something?
It's like 300, yeah. Yeah.
So do they have to tender?
They would have to tender in.
Anticipating the Constellation time up.
Constellation headed west toward Seattle.
I mean, Constitution.
Constitution, yeah. With this plan right here, we could more than that. They wouldn't have to tender in. When we talked to them about it, they were very interested in it. And that sort of opened the door for possible funding.
So there was two or three towns like this past year. They were here at the same time.
Yeah, worked out pretty good. You know, as you know, they only hold about 140 people or so.
So if that happened, they would have to tie. When it would have to anchor out?
Well, we talked to the director for operations, and he said it's easy to massage their schedule as to where they wouldn't be there at the same day. So they just, you know, would hit Camden maybe the next day or vice versa.
Okay, any other questions before we wrap up? Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, is it practical to accommodate the bigger than small but not large cruise ship that you just mentioned, or is it not practical with
this Pearl Mist? I think it would be difficult to get something that large in there.
You'd have to pretty much back in.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much at the capacity on 265 feet.
Wow, that's a good size.
It's
Thank
a
you.
Good
it
size
helps.
Ship, yeah, it's 55 feet wide, so wider than the longer lobster boats around here.
Gotcha.
Lynn, any more questions?
No.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up. But thank you, Bill and Bill.
It's great to hear.
And Mike.
It's interesting.
And Stuart, for coming. Clearly, we'll have some discussions and we'll offer some feedback. But we appreciate everything that you have been doing.
This was actually
a 2-minute break.
September in Far Harbor, outside. But just noticing there's like the thrust farms here, but there's also this big oval coming out there.
Thank you, Bill.